It's Sunday, November 15th, and you're watching the Three Nerds in a Basement podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Blavin.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show. We talk about all the cool things in the world. This week we got a review for you today. We're talking about 007 Spectre, following that up with the Nintendo Direct. And then we're going to tell each other what we've been doing lately.
What have you been doing?
I don't know. Oh, you know what? Happy birthday to Blavin!
Happy birthday!
It has been Blavin's birthday this past week.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
So everyone out there, just make sure to wish him a happy birthday.
Finally legal.
You know, I
finally legal.
Went out
finally
to dinner with these guys, and they exposed all my secrets and MOs.
You exposed all your own secrets and MOs, and then we just confirmed them.
Yeah. You didn't confirm. Yeah. Yeah. And now all of that restaurant knows about me.
Exactly. Oh, that was funny. Yeah,
yeah, that's pretty funny.
They're like you at the other table who are like. Yeah, they're like butting in on the conversation.
Oh, it's so funny. Oh my god.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
So if you were there at that restaurant, last night.
Let us know in the comments.
Let us know, yeah. In the comments. If you were there, if you were the one who wanted a piece of cake, who wanted
actually somebody asked for a cake?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Is
like,
your side?
Yeah, they're like, hey, can I have some of that cake?
Would you give them any?
Oh, I don't know.
Did did anybody say anything about
that? Oh, I think Rachel said they could have hers.
Oh, that's
did
so
she give it to
funny.
Him?
No, because she didn't end up getting a piece.
Oh my god, that's
she
so funny.
Didn't want it.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, happy birthday from New Generation Duelist, Blavin.
Oh, man, he's here every week.
He is here. You are loyal. You deserve a prize.
Yeah, and my friends loyally also gave me back cards that I gave to them as gifts. They gave it back.
But yeah, we signed them.
So here's the story. We didn't know what to get you.
Okay.
For your birthday.
Okay.
And we were going to do the
holiday box again.
Yeah.
I thought the holiday box was for Christmas time. Or was it always my birthday?
It was always your birthday.
It was always your birthday because it comes out around your birthday.
Yeah.
But we're like, we did that 2 years ago.
Like the first year was good. The second year is a funny joke. But the third year is just lazy.
Yeah, we're like, we're not even trying anymore. So we have to think about it. And we had a big discussion. A lot of different options came up. Which we won't tell you.
Oh man, that one option.
That one cool. Option was sick.
Okay,
oh my god.
Okay, you gotta tell me that one.
No,
wait.
No.
Why?
No.
It's next birthday.
That's your next birthday.
Oh my god,
wait a year.
Yeah.
It's fucking so cool. We almost bought.
Yeah, we almost
what
bought
you
for
were
ourselves.
Gonna get. What you were supposed to get. We almost bought for ourselves as well.
The reason we didn't get it for you is that
shipping would have been
shipping and stock was out.
Yeah.
So we were never gonna get it in time.
Okay.
But anyways. So we got your gifts, right?
Yeah.
And then we're like, shit, we didn't get him a card or anything. Now, originally, I was going to take one of my shipping boxes that I get, like when I get buy toys, and just magic marker my name on it and throw it in there, like a board.
All right.
But then I was like, wait, cards?
Cards?
We can do something with this.
Oh, God.
Magic cards.
Oh, my God.
We signed magic cards.
So we signed some magic cards. And,
they signed, what is it, some foils, and Anthony signed a card that says alive and well. And he said, told me he was glad I was alive and well. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good time though. Thank you for being there.
You should be thankful. That was the only dual card I had.
Yeah.
That card's worth more now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Signed.
Yeah. Signed.
By famed TNIB hosts.
Yeah. Make sure you play it in the Pro Tour.
Yeah, but it's not legal.
It's like, what? Is Alive and Well not legal?
Well, it's legal in modern, but it's not gonna do anything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a good time. Thank you guys.
Yeah, that's good. But Spectre.
Yeah.
007 Spectre.
Okay, well we have to ask the first question first. Yeah. The most important question.
Oh,
do you like the theme song?
Oh, the opening?
Yeah, I did. What was it? Sam Smith, right?
I don't like it.
It was Sam Smith, like, you had to risk it all or something like that?
Yeah.
Did Bond look more ripped in that scene than he did in the movie?
Yes.
He did look 100%. More ripped, right?
So before we get into the movie, I gotta say, Daniel Craig, I'm glad you're stopping.
He's old now.
Yeah, because I love, like, he's my favorite Bond, but he's old.
He looks old.
He's old now. Like, there's no scenes with him with his shirt off anymore because it doesn't matter how hard he works out anymore, things are sagging.
Yeah. Also, what I've learned recently is that apparently pretty much everyone to have played Bond hated playing Bond by the end of their Bond career.
Of course.
I did not realize that because I was like, oh man, you know, Daniel Craig, you just hate Bond. Whoa.
It's why, like, it's hard for Marvel to get Tony or Robert Downey Jr. back.
Why do they hate it so much?
They're just sick of it. It's like doing the same thing over and over again.
Oh.
They want to do something else.
They're artists.
They want to be more creative. Open up.
Mad dog.
I hope Idris Elba is the next Bond.
That'd be cool. I think he'd make a good Bond.
You know who I think would make a good Bond?
Tell me.
Don't say you.
Oh, don't say Chris Evans.
Nah, Chris Evans.
You call me Chris Evans.
He's not British.
Who cares?
But he's an actor. He can get a British accent. All those British actors got American accents. Why can't it be reversed?
Yo, did you know that the guy from Pacific Rim, the dad, isn't Australian? He's like straight up American.
Is he?
Yeah. Whoa. I saw him in another show called Lie to Me, and he's just like being like just actual English. They looked at the movie like a New York based guy.
Thick ass accent.
Damn.
For being Australian.
Yeah.
See? Wow. It could be done.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know Chris Evans can do it because he's the best.
Oh, yeah, actor. You know what
it's
I guess,
Chris
yeah.
Evans.
He's like the best actor known to man, right? So.
It's true. But Spectre, so Blavin, I know you hinted about a little bit earlier last week, but now give us your full impressions.
So I really, really liked the beginning with Mexico stuff because it was one, I guess that one part was like one long shot. And also, it just, there's no exposition as to what he was doing, right?
Okay.
Everything after that was pretty crappy to me. It just felt very drawn out and long. And the, I didn't even find the villain that scary. For a guy who's like, you know, has this whole organization, I feel like they just convenient were like, oh, I am the cause of everything. But I don't know. The girl was kind of not really one of the strong Bond women, I guess.
Yeah.
She wasn't like
she's
Ava
no
Green.
Pussy galore, that's for sure.
Well, she wasn't like Ava Green where, I guess Ava Green didn't really do anything much either.
Is
she,
Ava Green in
Casino
Royale?
Yeah.
Is she the one that just sobbed in the shower?
Yeah, but she, I seem
yeah,
like,
but she does more.
Yeah, but Ava Green, she sort of like, I guess, battled of wits Bond. This girl is just kind of mean to him the whole time kind of thing. I guess that's what I meant more.
Yeah.
She's not really challenging him in a way. She's, yeah, she's just mean to him because of the whole dad thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's got a dad complex.
It's a reasonable thing to be angry at, I feel.
But it's like she didn't even like her dad anyway, so. But yeah, the main bad guy, I don't even see him as being very threatening at all.
Christopher Waltz?
Yeah. What else have I seen
Christoph
him in?
He's in Django.
No. Yeah, he was. But there's... What's that one movie where he played the Nazi commander?
Inglourious Basterds.
There you go.
Oh, is he?
The milk scene?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
There you go.
So creepy.
Yeah.
I was expecting that kind of villain. But we didn't get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I just didn't like the whole end of it all. I do like his crew. Bond's crew. Q and... M and
Moneypenny.
I really like the new Q. He's cool.
He was the beginning. He was in Skyfall, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like him. Yeah.
He's cool.
He's the resident geek.
I like him.
He's got like cool hair going on.
Anthony's wish hair.
I know.
He's got like that sophisticated, I'm English.
Yeah.
He's sophisticated, I'm English, but a geek.
Yeah.
Look.
But he still looks down upon you because you're American.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Like he's
or
wearing
Canadian.
A suit and he's like, you're North American.
Yeah.
Like, he's wearing a suit, and I'm wearing a t-shirt. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah.
It's funny, though. They have to get to that whole base every time with the raft.
Yeah.
Every
yeah, that was a bit...
Yeah. Yeah, no. I just, you know, I thought that Monica Bellucci was going to be the actual Bond.
I thought she was going to have more of a presence.
Yeah, she was there for literally 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Is it the older lady?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't know Monica Bellucci? She was in Matrix.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, she was the guy's wife in the second one, the Keymaster.
Right? Oh, I haven't watched the Matrix in a long time.
Have you ever watched Shoot 'Em Up?
Yes.
She's the girl there.
Aren't there multiple girls in Shoot 'Em Up?
No, there's the one girl.
Wow. She just... Okay.
Was there a love interest in Skyfall? No, right? The Bond lady was just M, right?
M? Yeah. The Bond lady was
M. Oh, that was the real love interest, but there was a Bond girl.
Who was it?
Oh, I forget her name, but she gets killed.
She gets mad murdered, yeah.
Yeah, like she gets shot because they put like don't they put an apple on her head or something?
Yeah, they put an apple. Oh yeah, in the
in
the abandoned city.
Yeah,
in the abandoned
like
ghost town.
He's like, just put this here, and he's like, fuck it. He just shoots her in the face.
Yeah,
it's the Chinese girl. Is she Asian? Oh, she's in the yacht. The girl in the yacht.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh,
she was Bond shooter in the face.
No. The villain does.
Villain. Yeah, that villain was way creepier than.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's his face?
I liked him more. Yeah.
Benicio del Toro.
Is it?
I think that's who it was.
I don't think. No, maybe. But yeah, I don't know. I just didn't find this movie all that interesting.
Okay.
The first part though was so sick.
Yeah.
Everything up until he shoots and the building blows up. That was the best.
That's pretty cool. I like it when he fell and then he
fell
into a couch.
Yeah, that's like the end of the highlights for me there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You want to go next or?
Sure.
All right.
I will.
Do it.
I will.
I dare you.
I also did not like this movie.
Did you like the beginning like I did?
Yeah. The first shot was cool. But I'm always a sucker for those like one long sequence shots.
Yeah.
Even though I'm at the point now where I can see where they make the cuts.
Okay.
Yeah. But I didn't know what this movie wanted to be because the Daniel Craig movies have always been like this new, darker, more realistic Bond. And this was the first of his movies where they're like, if we're going to channel that old stuff, give him some gadgets, have some more comedic thrills and one-liners.
Yeah.
That felt so out of place. The Bond girl will literally be a damsel in distress who Bond will fall in love with for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, they feel like they have like, this crazy connection.
Yeah, but I was like, when did this happen?
Where was the connect? Where did the connection start?
Yeah. It never clicked with me.
So you guys didn't like the Bond girl either then?
No.
Okay.
I liked her as a person. She's pretty.
I like where she worked.
She worked in a cool place.
Her
office is pretty baller.
Yeah. Her chosen place of employment was fantastic.
I want to work there.
I don't know how you get there, but
ski lift.
Whatever.
You ski into the psych ward, pretty much.
But it was a mess. It was a mess of a film. Like, I thought it was a good action movie. Like, if you just want to see stuff happen. The car chase is more like a car dance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It wasn't really a chase. They used Batista to the most effectiveness.
That was Batista?
Yeah.
Okay, so like I was looking at it and I'm like, that looks like Batista, but there's like something off that makes it not look like
Batista. Yeah, it says Dave Batista in the opening credits.
Oh, man.
By Batista, they mean Drax.
Yeah.
The Destroyer.
No, I mean Batista because he's supposed to Batista bomb someone.
He did not. He instead poked someone's eye out.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, no, he did.
He thumbed his eyes.
He chokeslammed the girl.
Oh, yeah, he chokeslammed the girl. Yeah.
He did chokeslam the girl.
Did he clothesline someone, too?
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
But regardless, they used him to his maximum effectiveness, and by that I mean they gave him no lines.
And just made him fight.
He's just a big-ass grunt.
He's just the muscle, yeah. Even his entrance is, I don't talk, I gouge eyes out.
Yeah.
So
I let my fist do the talking.
Yeah, and
he doesn't say that.
No, he has no lines. Yeah. He has no lines. But no, it was a... I hate to say it, but it was the worst of Daniel Craig's Bond films. Even more so than Quantum of Solace.
Wasn't that just action movie, the Bond movie?
Yeah, but Quantum of Solace had something with it. I don't know. Quantum of Solace didn't have the weird gadgets everywhere and weird comedic jokes. And I like Olga Kurylenko.
Okay.
The action Bond girl.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, it was a disappointment of the year.
Of the year. Wow. Getting into later podcasts, huh? Wow.
Anthony, what do you think?
I also disliked it, but I don't think as much as you two did. Same points. Like, I didn't know what this movie wanted to be, but I felt like the action scenes I liked a lot more than you guys. So, like, what Vince was saying with the car dance, like, I really enjoyed that sequence.
Oh, I thought it was so boring.
Oh, really? Okay.
Nothing happened. It wasn't even a chase.
I just thought it looked cool.
It was so boring, and they're like, look at all these buttons that do shit.
Woo! Flamethrower. I'm like, oh, cool. flamethrowers. but yeah, so like a lot of my points are like, a lot of my points are mirrored on you guys' points, but like it's just not to the extreme of hatred as you guys pretty much.
Okay.
I'm confused at what the movie wanted to be. I liked the classic Bond moments, but when it was trying to switch between dark and brooding and classic Bond, that's where it really threw me off. And I did really like the concept of Christoph Waltz's character as the big crime boss behind everything. But like as Blavin said, so the guy in the last movie, he was a way better villain, right? Mm. And I felt a lot of it was because Christoph Waltz as a character doesn't really do anything himself. He's like, he's so above it that he just sends other people to do things. And even the portion where he was personally interrogating James Bond, like he did it through a machine. It wasn't like hands-on action. Right. And usually that kind of like hands-on stuff makes a character scarier. I feel, when it comes to being a villain,
like Le Chiffre with the ball busting.
Yeah. Thing. That like, he's super heinous when he gets the wet rope and he just starts hitting him in the balls.
Yeah.
Like, that was rough.
Jack in that movie.
Like that.
Daniel Craig was Jack in that movie. It's a shame. You need to take care of your body.
Shut up.
That was what he says, right?
I know.
That's what he says, right?
I know. But I know you only said that in reference to his age.
Wow. That's rough.
Well, what else was it? So, speaking of that guy, right?
Yeah.
How much red tape did he use at the last scene there? He likes a lot of red tape.
Oh, in the building?
Yeah, like actual red tape.
I thought that, no, so that was because at the beginning of the movie, they show that building and they're like, oh, it's a shame that it's less expensive to knock it down and build again than just to fix it. So they're tearing it down. There's like a little tiny line at the beginning that explains why all the
Yeah, it's under construction.
It's yeah, because be... it's under construction. So like another company did that. And then he just used what? It as the
yeah,
thing.
It's a, really? Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be blown up.
The red tape?
You mean with, yeah, where it's all...
Yeah, but they're all leading to places, and then they...
Yeah, so, like, he like posted up, like... Oh, you mean the arrows?
Yeah, like, everything. Oh, he set up okay. all that, the pictures of each of the people, the when the girl was tied up and there was tape all around her, I was like, okay. That could be a trap, but he's just like, nope, cut it all off. Yeah, I'm just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you meant that kind of right there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. That, I'm sure he had grunts to do that.
I didn't mean, like, actual, like, red tape, like, okay. You know, like, yeah. The, metaphorically speaking.
Yeah, since we're talking about the ending, how do you guys feel about that ending?
What? When he just lets go?
When he... He doesn't actually do this, but for the sake of the point, he rides off into the sunset with the girl.
The part that I dislike the most was when they have the literal Snowpiercer choice of, like, left to go back to my old life and right to go to...
Yeah.
And all that, I was like, oh, this is so lame.
Yeah.
They could have done this in a way better way. And closed off his spy time in a better way. Rather than just being like, pick and choose. It was like playing a Telltale game. Like when you're playing The Walking Dead and it's like, you got to save Ashley or you got to save Dave. And they're on opposite sides of the screen. Yeah. Like it felt really cliche.
Well, you should have said, got him.
Got him.
Got him.
Taking the middle choice.
Taking the middle choice. Got him.
But yeah, like, yeah, the whole movie.
You like the theme song, though? That's the one we all disagree
on. Yeah, I didn't. I did not like the theme song.
I like it. I don't think it was as good as
Adele. I like Skyfall so much.
Yo, how anime was that opening scene, eh? Solid with tentacles?
So, oh,
yeah,
yeah.
Like,
woo! Yeah, tentacles! And the hands that are coming up like this.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I just see him with, like, big anime eyes.
I think at this point, though, for me, I'm just... I heard like a lot of Sam Smith and I'm kind of over Sam Smith. So it might just be the fact, like the song could be totally fine. Maybe if it was sung by someone else.
What, like Adele? Hello?
But yeah, I don't like Adele's new song either.
Yeah.
Skyfall's the only Adele song I like.
Really?
Yeah.
You're like, rolling in the deep.
It's okay. You just don't like Adele. You don't like British people.
I like British people.
No, you don't.
What are you talking about?
No.
What about that F1 driver I like?
You don't know who?
Oh, he's Finnish.
Yeah.
Damn.
You don't like British people. This is a revelation, because I love British people. You don't like British people?
No, like, who's British? I think I like British people.
No, you don't.
I like The Kingsman. That movie's fantastic. That's a great movie. That's all set in Britain. And I like that one guy who's in it, who plays, like, the Obi-Wan Kenobi type.
Colin Firth?
Colin Firth. He's pretty cool.
Sure. You don't like British people, whatever.
I like Colin Firth. He's pretty cool.
Well, the only way we can prove this is if we go to Britain and just see how angsty Anthony gets.
Like, everything sucks. All these goddamn soccer hooligans. Oh, they're just drinking Guinness.
Well, that's so funny. But
Skyfall, give it a rating.
I would give it like 2.5 stars.
No halves.
No halves.
You gotta make your stand.
Ooh, that's rough.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, really? I thought you guys were going to give it once.
Go ahead.
2.
You?
Yeah, because like... So for me, like, a 3 and a 5 scale is like, this is decent, right?
No, 3 is satisfactory. It's acceptable.
Like, it's... Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's fine, right? And, like, I like that movie less than fine, but you guys talk like it like you're just shitting on it. Like, you hate it. Like,
it's just... I was sitting there and watching it, but at the end of it, I was like, I wouldn't watch that again.
Okay, yeah, no, okay, then I'm in the same boat as you.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, because I was going to give it a 2, yeah.
Yeah, 2.
Yeah, like, I just sat there, I'm like, okay, I watched the bottom flick, that was pretty cool, and then, I'm
like, yeah, like,
not really memorable.
Like, whatever.
Yeah, unlike Christina Ricci, which I'm like, man, that was sick.
Okay, so now
and
that...
he's so smooth.
So now that Daniel Craig, James Bonds are done,
yeah.
How do you rank your Daniel Craig Bond movies?
Oh.
Oh, it's easy. Too easy.
Go.
So, I always put Casino Royale at the top, because that's my favorite movie of all time, though.
Oh, wow, okay.
And then Skyfall.
Okay.
Then Quantum, then this.
All right.
Yeah, that's literally the same as me.
Okay. I switch...
Climb of Souls.
I switch... No, I put Skyfall up
and then, before Casino Royale.
At first. And then Casino Royale.
Okay.
But, like, Casino Royale, for me, it's not one of my favorite movies of all time, but it's just because it's so quintessential Bond for me.
Mm.
He's smooth.
Yeah, you were into the books for a long time, too. Isn't that a book as well?
That's the first book.
Yeah, it's the first book.
That's the first book.
Yeah. But the thing is that he's the quintessential Bond. He picks up other people's wives. He has a Bond girl.
Yeah.
He's like this dude who looks like a playboy, but he's got all these like mad insecurities about
himself. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. There we go.
Yes, yes. Did you see the call out? My friend Felix from the CIA.
No.
Yeah, he tells Monica Bellucci to call his friend Felix from the CIA. You know who Felix was?
No.
He's the guy from Le Chiffre who let him buy in. He's like, hey, I'm from the US.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The only thing I picked out was they filmed one of the scenes identical to the opening Casino Royale.
Oh, really?
When M goes to at the very end and he's sitting in the chair waiting for, I don't know his name, but I'm going to go with Mycroft because that's who he is in Sherlock.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, him.
Him. And he goes to his desk to reach for his gun and he aims it and he shoots.
And there's no bullets.
There's no bullets.
Yeah.
And then Q makes some sort of quip about how he's not dumb or something.
Yeah.
Bond does the same thing in the opening Casino Royale.
Because he tells him that he's not prepared. No, that isn't Mycroft. It's the villain.
Yeah.
He's not Mycroft. Mycroft's Sherlock's brother.
Oh, yeah.
In the series, wasn't Mycroft the villain?
No, it wasn't Mycroft. It was the other guy. Moriarty.
Moriarty. Yeah. Sorry, my bad. Yeah, Moriarty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Moriarty.
I could only think of Moriarty when he was...
Yeah. I don't know. They're both M's. I'm an idiot. They're both M's and the guy's an M. Like, what the fuck? It's all the same.
What M's? So, sorry, one more question. Do you guys think that for the next Bond, they'll keep the current side cast? Like, the current Q and the current Money?
I don't know, actually.
I can see it happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like those characters. And if they wrote it as, like, James Bond is leaving the 007 status, like...
Yeah,
that'd be cool if they
because old lady M is back from Pierce Brosnan days.
Yeah, yeah, right? Exactly.
So. Yeah, that is cool that the 007 spot is open
for Idris Elba,
for Blavin Harmila. I can't wait for that movie.
Yeah, the bumbling spy.
I think they made that movie already. It's called Spy, and it's with McCartney or whatever.
Yeah. McCartney, oh.
Jessica McCarthy.
I was thinking the one with who's the lead from The Office.
Oh, get smart.
Get smart. There we go. Yeah, yeah.
I can't watch The Office. It's too awkward for me. It's so awkward. It makes me not want to watch that show.
Really?
Yeah. Why?
You just cringe.
You don't like?
I cringe so hard.
You don't like
hard.
Awkward people?
I cringe so hard at The Office that it makes me actually not want to watch it.
Oh, gosh, you have a problem.
I guess. Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yep.
The big story of the week was the Nintendo Direct.
Uh-huh. Big Nintendo Direct.
We're going to talk about all of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know
anything about it except for the one thing.
Good. You'll be surprised.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's say your announcement is probably the biggest.
It is the largest.
Which is weird that they made that the biggest announcement, but you know what it is.
And we'll keep it. We'll keep it for last.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go through some stuff. First, they announced Twilight Princess HD. For the Wii U.
Yay.
And it comes with an exclusive Wolf Link amiibo that you can only get in the game.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like Wolf Link. And
do you know why they're releasing this game?
Because it's easy?
No, because the fans are like, no one wants to buy a Wii U because there's no Zelda. Well, here's your Zelda.
Here's your Zelda.
No, Wind Waker. Oh, yeah, okay, but nobody likes Wind Waker.
All the critics like Wind Waker.
Gamers do not.
Well, they can say they have two Zeldas now.
There you go, two Zeldas.
Fuck.
There hasn't been a Zelda in a while. How about that?
What, Trevor's Heroes, bro?
That's 3DS.
That's a shitty game.
Is it actually bad?
It's bad. I heard it's not good.
It's not good.
I heard the thing about that game is even local multiplayer just drops all the time.
That's bad.
And if you drop in the middle of a dungeon, it shoots you all the way back to the beginning.
Hot.
All right, so Twilight Princess HD. We're all excited. Yay.
I like Twilight Princess a lot.
So do I. That's not something I want to play again, though.
Okay. Yeah, neither.
Then they had some smaller stuff. Mario Tennis Ultra Smash. They showed off like the new mechanics there. You can do like jumping shots.
Isn't that the new mechanic?
Yeah.
Like that's the only
No. They have like a mega mode where Toad will throw mega mushrooms from the side. You turn into a giant.
Yeah.
Okay.
And stuff like that. Final Fantasy Explorers, which was something I want to bring up because that game looks really good. It's like a Monster Hunter-esque, like Fantasy Star kind of feel. And it's like you and three other people go as Final Fantasy characters and beat up Final Fantasy monsters, get loot, and do stuff. It looks really sick.
Did you play Final Fantasy The Crystal Bearers?
For the Wii?
What's the one that... Or Rings of Fate, the one on the DS?
No.
Okay.
Why?
Is it like that?
No, like that? Does it remind you of that?
This is reminding me of that. And I remember me and TJ had... Like, we liked it, but we also had an awful time with it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. But
like, I don't know what it is, but group-based Final Fantasy games have never been great.
Okay. Been stellar.
It looks cool through trailers, but
it totally looks cool.
But like just seeing them do like Delta attacks and.
But it's already out.
I think it's coming out soon. It's out in Japan.
Yeah, it's out in Japan.
But they're bringing it out. I think it's early next year.
Yeah, because it says December 18th, 2014.
Yeah, that was the Japanese release. And so when they bring it out in the West, all the Japanese DLC is going to be on the cart for free.
Cool.
And there's like a special edition that comes with like art book and all that stuff. And then also 4 exclusive quests to get legendary items from different Final Fantasies.
Okay.
The next one is Pokken Tournament. It's coming to the West.
Man, so when I was watching the Direct, this is a slight tangent. Who's the guy who was leading it?
Reggie and...
That other dude, right?
What's his name?
Anyways,
dang.
That other dude, the way he says Pokken was really irritating to me.
You hear him say Tekken? He says Tekken.
Yeah, and I was just like, dude.
It's Tekken.
What? Like, I know it's 2 syllables, but no need for that deliberate pause in between.
I think it's probably, he's very fluent in Japanese, so that's probably why he does it.
I know, but I'm just like, it's very apparent when nothing else you're saying is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. But yeah, they showed off Pokken Tournament. If you buy it in a first print run, it'll come with an Amiibo card.
Oh.
And the Amiibo card will allow you to unlock Shadow Mewtwo off the bat instead of having to unlock him through the game.
Okay.
And that was pretty much all they showed there. There's already been a ton of video because it's released in Japanese arcades.
Mm-hmm.
After that, they had some other stuff. But so, like, the bigger games were Star Fox Zero. They showed a very extended gameplay portion of Star Fox Zero. So they showed the R-Wing.
Yeah.
And its new Gerwalk mode.
Yeah.
They showed the Landmaster and its new limited flight mode.
Yeah.
And then they showed the stealth helicopter. That's used for stealth missions.
Is that the chicken?
Huh?
Is that the chicken thing?
Is it? It didn't look like a chicken to me. It looked like a drone helicopter, pretty much.
And then transformed into like a chicken.
Oh, I didn't see the transformation for that.
Okay.
Chicken.
Or maybe it does. Oh, I don't know. But it also has Rob the Robot as a winch.
Oh.
To like grab stuff and you use it to like hack computers and stuff.
Okay.
And I don't know. Like F-Zero, again, this looks pretty cool.
Star Fox.
F-Zero. It looks pretty cool, like, just through trailers, but everything I've been reading about that game is just, like, it kind of controls that garbage, and, like, you're trying to do too much with the Wii U gamepad, and, like, maybe it's just not a time for another Star Fox like this.
I don't know. I look at it, and I can't see anything past 64, Star Fox 64.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks like they just remade 64 and threw in that drone thing.
Yeah, and they have some, like, kind of more open areas, but it does just kind of look like, here's the set path.
Yeah. All range mode. Let's do it.
All range mode. The next one, I know the one you're excited about probably the most, is Fire Emblem Fates.
Oh, yeah, baby. I can't wait.
So it's Fire Emblem Fates Conquest. And what was the other one?
Birthright.
So technically, they're the same game, story-wise, but they're told from different perspectives.
Yes.
So you play from each army's whatever.
Yeah.
Do
you know the story behind it?
No.
Okay. Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, go nuts.
So you are this dude,
okay,
or girl, whatever you want to be, and you were actually, so the 2 stars are Birthright because you were born to like this very rich and noble kingdom.
Okay.
But some certain events happened, and you were actually kidnapped, and you were raised on the villains, not the villains, but we'll call them the conquest side.
Okay.
And so it comes back, and the story takes place, and you're an adult now, and you can choose whether or not to go back to your home country, your birthright, fight alongside them, or fight alongside the people who raised you, who are technically the villains.
Oh, so each game has the same starting off point, but each game is like just that split decision?
Yes, okay. Yeah.
What?
That sounds sick, actually.
Yeah. So it's 2 separate games. They announced first that if you do buy one of the copies, you can get the other copy digitally for a reduced price for $20 American.
Yeah, and 3DS games cost like 50, 40?
Yeah, $49.99 Canadian.
Okay, so we'll just say 40 American.
Yeah, okay, 40 American.
Yeah.
So yeah, you get it for like 40 American, and then if you want the other game and you don't want the box of it,
yep,
you can just get it digitally for 20.
Okay, fair.
And then they also announced the Ultimate Super Special Edition.
No, before that, you're missing the third storyline.
The third? Sorry. They have the final one. I actually forget the subtitle for this one.
It's called Revelations.
Revelations, where it's like the final concluding arc in that game.
Yes, yes.
So do you know if for that game, like, if you say you have both save files, mm-hmm. like, will you just get to pick which one to start from, or?
I don't know how it's going to work. I just know it's $20 again.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's another $20. But then they have the Ultimate Crazy Special Edition, which is actually all three games in one package,
mm-hmm.
And one like a cloth bag for your 3DS.
Yeah,
that looks really nice. It has like full art on it. It has all the Fire Emblem characters from the game and stuff. Mm-hmm. It looks really, really nice, and that's for $79.99 American. Yeah. So like, if you're planning to get all the games,
I am.
That's like the best option for you. I think actually. I read on Twitter today that at least American GameStop and EB Games put up pre-orders.
Okay.
I don't know about Canadian. So.
No. Okay. But I always end up pre-ordering on Amazon anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
It's just easier.
But yeah, that's pretty much Fire Emblem.
I'm so hyped. So excited.
This might be a Fire Emblem I'll buy.
Just play Awakening.
Wait. I think I'm going to try this one. I'll just start on this one.
Okay.
A big one for me is they showed more Xenoblade Chronicles X.
They did
some weird stuff with like if you buy the game digitally, like starting now, they have like pre-download packs, so you can like download straight assets to your Wii U hard drive to make loading faster.
Yeah,
and it kind of makes I kind of don't want to download it because I'm curious to see if the loading is just abysmal if you don't have those packs, and I kind of want to see how it looks. But it made me go pre-order that. So
yeah, no, the single Wii U game that's making me think about a Wii U.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
For me, it's actually like my most hyped game of this holiday.
Oh no, same here. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like I'm contemplating getting a Wii U.
Like just for that game. Like yes. I guess kind of like how I did for Bayonetta.
Yes.
Okay. That's fair. It looks really good.
Yeah.
And then the last one, which is probably the biggest one. They had like other small stuff, like they had Fast Racing Neo. Which is pretty much like F-Zero.
How did they not change the name of that game?
Fast Racing Neo. It's Fast Racing
Neo. What? Who sat down at that marketing board and was just like, "Sir, Fast Racing Neo.
Boy, get this man a corner office."
Yeah.
Like
who said yes to that?
I don't know. Look at the Square Enix team. Like Kingdom Hearts 2.8.
Yeah, but at least there's a soul so far gone that at least... You kind of think
it's just like Oscar.
It's an inside joke now at this point. But Fast Racing Neo is so, it's so basic.
It's so basic. It's like
you can't be. Oh wow.
Yeah. Like it's so.
It's almost there.
Yeah.
It's almost Japanese crazy, but it's not, right?
Yeah, okay, but I feel like, it. Yeah, it's like no, it's not Japanese crazy. It's we just didn't care.
But the game looks cool.
It looks like F-Zero.
Yeah, the game looks really nice. It uses like almost like Ikaruga style in your racing where the boost pads have different pulls. And so you switch to blue power or orange power depending on which boost pad you're going through.
Yeah.
And then you just race super fast.
Makes it complicated.
Yeah, looks pretty cool.
Yeah. The other small one that probably for me, the announcement of the show was the original Pokemon games.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about that. 3DS. Yeah, yeah.
And
Pokemon Blue, Red, and Yellow.
And Yellow.
Yeah.
Yes, in Japan, they're also offering green.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. That's fair.
Actually, so we're getting shafted here on the American side, because in Japan, what you can do is you can go to the store, and you can buy updated versions of the original box.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they come with carts in them.
That's cool.
And they have all the colors in Japan. So they have blue, red, green, yellow, all for sale.
Dang, that looks sick.
So, what is it? Are you guys going to get one? Get?
Yes.
Like, this is just the original game, right?
It's the original, straight original games.
That's it.
The only
I heard that you can link cable with people online instead of...
Yeah, the only functionality they added is that they added local trading. Yeah. So you can just wirelessly trade instead of using a link cable.
That's so sick.
So yeah, like, I grew up with blue, but I always wanted yellow.
See, I had them all,
yeah,
but I lost yellow. I don't know where it is. It's somewhere in my house, or someone stole it.
Yeah. Because I think I remember TJ introduced me to Pokemon. He bought blue 1 year. And I was like, oh, shit, I want that game. Yeah. And by the time I bought it, he's like, check it out. I got yellow.
Yellow. You're like, ah!
Like, fuck!
Look, my Pikachu followed me.
I was like, why didn't you tell me? why did I buy this one?
Didn't yellow have all...
Like, yeah, you got all three starters. And I was like, It's like the show, man.
It's like the show.
So you have to have some electric rat in your party the whole time.
Yeah. For me, I feel I would get, like, if I had to buy any of them, I'd buy yellow. Because, like, honestly, I still have working Game Boy colors and I still have working
SP. Yeah, I still have my original copy of blue.
Yeah.
And also silver, so.
See, I can't. I have my silver instruction booklet, but I don't have the silver cart.
In the box?
No.
Wow.
I just have the instruction booklet.
Jeez.
Because back in those days, I always threw out the boxes.
Oh.
Oh.
So, like, I would, like, oh, sweet, Banjo-Tooie for my birthday. And I would, like, fold up the box and, like, throw them out. Oh. Yeah, like, I was never into that. So I just wanted the game as a kid.
Okay.
That's crazy.
All right.
So then, wants to mention Linkle?
Oh, yeah, Linkle.
All right, Linkle.
Linkle's pretty cool. Linkle.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I saw pictures of her. And, yeah, double cross.
She looks familiar. Yeah, so she's got Link, and she's female Link.
I'm into it, dude. I'm into it.
Her stuff is really cool. Like, her spin attack is like a spin kick, and it sets people on fire.
I'm into it.
I still like her one reload animation after she, like, does a bunch of arrow shots. She puts arrows in her crossbows and then jumps and steps on the pulleys on her crossbow and then pulls them back.
Oh my
and
god.
She just, like, has the double. It looks so sick. She looks really cool.
The other thing, too, is I did look up the Fire Emblem Fates.
Yeah.
So you can't pre-order them on Amazon yet.
No.
You'll pre-order the separately one.
Yeah, I saw that. I was in for the special to go up. Yeah.
So people are like, I was looking on Canadian forums and people are wondering, like, oh, is Canada getting shafted for the special?
No, we're gonna get it. It's gonna be $100.
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah, it looks so cool. Oh man, but then there's a revelation.
What?
But yeah, Blaven, I guess the final one is for you. Is the one actually you even knew about?
Yeah, it's so this one is basically they've put in my favorite Final Fantasy character into Smash Bros.
Selfie?
They're putting Squall from Final Fantasy VIII into Smash Bros.
I'm sorry, it's not Squall.
No, let me say it!
It's Zidane?
It's Cloud.
Cloud.
Yo, there has to be a Sephiroth, right? Like, it has to appear somewhere, right?
Yeah.
He has to appear somewhere, right?
So in this trailer, I thought it was really clever the way they did things. So like Cloud was laying on the ground, and they had Zelda with flowers pretending to be Aerith.
Yeah,
And they had like a bunch of other scenes from the games and stuff.
It's
really cool.
So funny. Yeah,
he stole Wario's motorcycle and walked away with it.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought the opening of the trailer was fucking bait and switch because the way it opens is the opening to Final Fantasy VII. I'm like, no way. There's no fucking way they got some sort of underhand cut on Sony to get it first.
Yeah,
to get it. A reduced whatever.
No.
And then it was Cloud enters the battle. I'm like,
whatever. Fuck. Cloud enters the battle.
Oh my god.
So yeah, he's got the Buster Sword. He does the...
He has an up slash. He has, like, his forward is... He shoots a beam at you.
What's the one where he, like... He writes on you with his sword slashes. Like
that's cross slash.
Cross slash.
Slash, okay. Yeah.
His cross slash. And then his smash is omni slash.
Yeah, well, he turns it on his limit break, and then I don't know what happens.
Because he has the bar. I don't know if that's like a taunt, maybe.
Yeah, because he gets upgraded moves. It looks like after that, they show him like doing different moves.
See, I don't know if that's like, if it functions like, you know how Little Mac has the built-up gauge?
Okay.
Maybe it's like that. Like, you're constantly building.
That's what I'm wondering, too, because there is a scene where he does an up smash, and it does the slowdown, it's the uppercut punch from Little Mac.
Yeah.
So.
He comes in two costumes, original FF7 and Advent Children.
But I like his Advent Children sword. It looks cool.
The thing is, they only showed his Omni Slash in the original costume. So I'm wondering if you pick his Advent Children, will the sword split and will he dash around?
Oh, that'd be cool. That'd be sick. Oh, like, they'll go in the air.
Yeah.
That'd be sick.
Yeah. Let's not go there.
That was cool.
But I like his stage. Is his stage...
So yeah, I think the coolest thing about this announcement was the stage. Like, not even Cloud. Like, the Midgar stage...
You guys are crazy.
...is sick.
Anime Marth is cool.
What do you mean? There's more?
Anime Marth's whatever. Oh, you want to explain Anime Marth?
No,
tell me. What is it?
No, explain it. Go.
I don't know the story. I just saw a picture and I was like...
Yeah, someone just posted up a picture of, like, Anime Marth.
So they showed all the Fire Emblem characters.
Yeah.
The first one is Marth, but it's actually Lucina. All right.
Yeah.
And then they showed, like, Ike, and it's, like, Hulk Marth. And then they showed the real Marth and, like, Boy Marth. And then they showed every other DLC anime character, and Clouds is at the end, which is, like, Anime Marth.
Every other DLC character, like...
Oh, I don't know. Like, Roy...
Ryu.
Ryu's a Marth. Like, they're all just Marth.
Oh, really? Oh, that's so funny.
But yeah, the Midgar stage looks bananas.
Because it gets cut in half by... What's his name?
Odin.
Odin
uses the Zen Tetsuken
to cut the stage in half.
Mega Flare from Bahamut.
Yeah, it tilts the stage.
No,
yeah.
It just sends. There's a laser beam in the back, and it just comes towards the stage.
Oh yeah, what's the one that tilts it?
I think that's the Wind Lady.
Oh really? Okay.
I forget. But yeah, there's like what's her face?
Rami's in it too. Shiva.
Yeah, Shiva's in it. And like, there's just the stage hazards are Final Fantasy summons, and it looks so cool.
I hope
that the stage hazards. Oh yeah.
Yeah, the stage hazards are summons.
I hope one of the summons that they're holding back right now is Knights of the Round.
The match would be over before it happens. Knights of the Round.
Yeah.
That's for the last 30 seconds of the match in a timed match.
Oh, shit.
Knights of the Round starts.
Yeah.
And then when the round's over, Knights of the Round ends and just dominates the whole stage, and then the round's over.
Yeah. Fuck. Greatest summon still.
That'd be pretty cool.
Knights of the Round.
The greatest movie, yeah. The greatest, the
greatest movie.
The greatest movie, yeah. It's a pretty good Final Fantasy movie. Knights of the Round's pretty good. But yeah, no, it looks super sick.
Doesn't intend to direct.
I can't wait for Mikey to buy it, and then I can go... Go play as Cloud.
That's true. You can play that game with your 3DS as a controller, right?
Yeah, you can. I think all the DLC stuff is for 3DS. I'm not sure.
It is. Okay. It is. But yeah, when Mikey buys it, I'll go over.
Yeah, I'll totally do that too. I'll go.
Are you gonna buy that Ryu amiibo?
Is it Ryu amiibo?
I know you want it.
I don't know. It looks okay.
I know you want it.
Like, so I bought the Splatoon amiibos.
For the game?
The 3-pack.
Yeah.
And I bought it for the game because it unlocks stuff. And I like the Splatoon characters.
Yeah.
And then I bought the Yoshi's Woolly World.
Yeah.
Like, I found a blue one recently. Yeah. So I have the blue and the pink one.
I heard the green ones are popping up now, so...
Solo?
Yeah. Okay. I might just wait for it.
Yeah.
Yo, I like the Roy amiibo.
Good luck.
He's holding his sword, like, behind the back and stuff.
Yeah, the Fire Emblem ones are tough
to get. They're all hard to find. Yeah. I just want Ike. Like, Ike's just standing there with a sword in the ground like this.
Well, I got the one I wanted, so I'm good.
You got it from, like, Australia.
Lucina? You got Lucina?
I got Lucina,
you cheated.
Yeah. Thanks to my Australian bros hooking me up.
I think the only amiibo I want right now is Mega Yarn Yoshi.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the really tall.
Yeah. I won't lie. I'll probably buy the Cloud amiibo.
When it comes out?
Yeah, I'll probably buy it.
I'll probably buy it.
Yeah, I know you will. And you don't. You've never even played 7.
I have played 7. No, I played 7.
The first 2 hours don't count.
No, I got to Aerith's house, and then I fought a bunch of houses on fire that had mouths. That's
the first hour.
And then I couldn't figure out how to get out of the city, because the game didn't tell me where to go. So I'm like, fuck this shit. And
press select.
No, it didn't tell me how to do that.
Okay. But, thoughts on this Nintendo Direct? What do you guys think overall?
I thought this Nintendo Direct was strong, for me at least. Like, as someone who, like, looks at his Wii U and turns it on for Mario Maker and Splatoon once in a while.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh shit, there's like actual games I want to play on Nintendo consoles now on the Wii U. And I look at my 3DS, I'm like, oh, we don't play Monster Hunter anymore. Like, you know what I use my 3DS for right now? Cooking Mama 4. Kitchen Magic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I just turn it on and I like make a recipe mini games. I'm like, oh, this is fun. Wow. And I shut it off and I put it away.
Wow.
Yeah. Or 999, I guess.
That's sad. I was talking to the fourth chairman who wasn't here
Mr. TJ.
And we were talking about, we're like, you know, that Nintendo Direct was great, but if anything, it proves that we still have no reason to buy a Wii U. Because all the best games they showed are on the 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
And we both really want Xenoblade Chronicles X, but we're like, we should just split one.
And share it.
Yeah. So we were talking about that. We're like, yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
You can always rent it.
Yeah, maybe.
For me. Rent my Wii U.
That's true. Next summer. When I know there's no games out, I'm like, yo, I'm going to need that.
Hey, can I borrow this?
Thanks.
Yeah. But no, I'm really excited about what, like, I thought Nintendo was kind of just dead in the water till the NX came out, or they announced something about the NX.
Mm.
And then now they have a bunch of games that I want to play.
Well, you know what? They still have a Zelda in development. Like,
I'm almost positive they're going to do a Twilight Princess thing.
Yeah.
Of here it is on the NX, but if you want the other version, here it is too.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
Open world Zelda.
Yeah. For Blaven, it's kind of like, what do you think?
No, I was looking up all the stuff that you guys were talking about just now, and those sounds like pretty exciting announcements. But I didn't, unsuccessfully didn't find that Marth meme. I really wish I found that one.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I wish I found that one.
It is pretty funny.
But yeah, no, I don't know. I still think that I want a Wii U more than the other consoles.
That's good. That's good. Fair. What games, though? I'm curious.
That's the problem, isn't it? It'd probably just be Smash Bros. And Splatoon. But, like, now that time has gone by, I think I want Splatoon less.
Yeah, see, I was looking at the Black Friday deals, and you can get Wii U with Mario Maker and Splatoon with it.
Oh, nice.
And I think Smash Brothers for the price of a Wii U.
The thing also I should mention, too, with Splatoon is that they're constantly bringing out free updates for that game.
Yeah.
So even at the Direct, I didn't mention it because I didn't think any of you would care.
Yeah.
But, like, they have two new maps, a whole bunch of new clothes, like, some new weapons and stuff. So they're, like, they said they are going to bring out new DLC all the way up until at least January.
Sick.
And if it's still a super popular online community, they're going to keep bringing out free stuff.
Yeah, I have a friend who's playing Splatoon a lot, and he tells me, like, it's really good and that I should play it if I get the chance. So I'm like, yeah. All right.
Yeah, like, I thought it was just going to be like, oh, third person shooter or whatever. Yeah. It's cool. But like, it's just because the objective is covering the level and not necessarily killing your opponents. Yeah, it's like this extra layer on top of everything. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I need to prove my dominance with my KD.
You can't still do that. It shows your KD ratio.
I'm just kidding. I just want to spray the walls.
The walls don't count towards your.
What?
The floor only.
Yeah, but it doesn't count. But you got high. Like he's already thinking Japanese.
Yeah, no, that's so that's like high level strats. So the walls don't count towards your total.
But I can still swing.
But you can still swing in the walls.
Yeah, like
so. What you do, like what I've done before, is like I'm near a bridge and like I swim up to a ceiling.
No.
And then I come down like.
You know what the Japanese people did?
What did they do?
You copied it. Is what you mean.
What, swim up to the ceiling?
Yeah.
I did not watch. I swear I tried that on my own.
No.
I swear to God I tried that on my own.
Because last time, Anthony said that he learned all his tricks from the Japanese players in the evenings.
Except for that one. So the thing with that game is fucking weird. Is that after,
I heard this too.
After, 8, 9 o'clock at night, our time.
Yeah.
It's all Japanese people.
This is exactly what I've heard.
Fucking killers. They dominate that game. It's insane.
It's their Call of Duty.
Yeah, it's Japan's Call of Duty.
I'm not even lying. My friend who doesn't know Anthony at all said the same thing.
It's nuts. All you see is a bunch of kanji and katakana. Yeah.
And if you watch streamers, it's the same thing.
And then they're all just like, "Oh man, well, stream's over.
Yeah,
all the killers are out."
Damn,
it's so nuts.
That's really funny.
It's weird.
Probably because they're efficient.
Yeah, no, they're thinking. With all of the ink. Like, they're like, oh, we're going to swim into the wall. And then when you go around the corner, bitch. And they also, everybody, for some reason, a lot of North Americans, they all use the roller. So there's a one weapon where you just roll the ground.
Yeah, of course. I would use that.
Because it's just like, and if you run over someone, it's a one-hit kill.
Yeah.
But the thing is like, you know what's the roller super weak against? Like, any ranged weapon.
Yeah.
Right? Also, the Japanese like using the calligraphy brush, which shouldn't be a surprise, but...
Why they swipe at you?
It's it's a mid-range weapon, so it's got up close devastation by hitting you, and then it also shoots ink a little bit.
So it's a sword with a beam.
Yeah, it's kind of a limping beam.
I saw someone do no scoping
in Splatoon.
Yeah, he has
the line rifle. Gun.
Yeah, yeah, and he just goes. It's so funny.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a line gun in that game.
Yeah,
that sounds cool.
Yeah, but no, that game's super awesome.
Cool. Any other announcements for Nintendo Direct that you want to bring up? Anything you saw that we didn't mention?
Yo-Kai What? I don't know. I kind of want to buy that game, but...
I think all of us
sure.
Yo, hey, what do you want for Christmas?
LBX.
Are we all getting Yo-Kai What?
No, we're all getting LBX?
They started releasing the manga here.
Really?
They're in chapters, volume 1-3 of LBX.
I can't watch LBX.
Why?
Because I watched Build Fighters.
I'm done.
Yeah, better, yeah. And I'm like, it's the same concept, but...
Remember when we bought all those LBXs, though?
Yeah.
It was a good time.
Yeah. LBX was cool.
I mean,
until it came out, and then we saw Build Fighters, and then we all said, oh man, it's a franchise.
Yeah, when I saw Build Fighters, I'm like, yo, fuck.
Yo, that's a franchise I know. Yo, nostalgia.
The only thing I know about Build Fighters is that the mom's cute.
See, the thing is that you lose out on a lot if you don't know the franchise.
Oh, yeah, probably 100%. Yeah,
sure. I just get giddy every episode.
For sure.
I feel like, so I'm almost done the origin.
Mm.
And I've mentioned on this podcast that after I'm finished the last volume of the origin, I'm going to try and watch Zeta.
Yeah, see, the thing is that there's so much.
Is there more than that?
The thing is that we know this because it's kind of like...
I don't,
part of our lives.
I don't see. Okay, I don't know if you could just read the manga of the origin and then go into Zeta.
Really?
Yeah. Well, not even that. Also, the reason that we find it so giddy is because we randomly find other Gundams and there's other little shows here and there, right? Like Blue Destiny. Like we wouldn't even know which one that was, right? Like out of nowhere.
So do you think, so for you, is that because Gundam is this lifelong thing?
Yeah, it's because I actually haven't even watched half the shows. Like. being honest with you, like, because they're playing Super Robot Wars, doing research, like looking at things. Okay. That's where you find out about all these other ones.
Okay.
But then, and then you get to watching them here and there, and then so that.
But do you think, like,
but I don't think any of us have watched any of the old ones straight.
Like, okay.
Yeah. No, I haven't watched the original Gundam series straight.
Okay. I've watched the original Gundam series straight. I haven't watched Zeta. I haven't watched Double Zeta. I've watched X a long time ago.
Yeah. Instead of watching the original series, I watched the movie trilogy.
Oh, okay.
Of Zeta?
No, of original Mobile Suit.
Yeah, because if you watch the Zeta trilogy, it's like
no, don't watch
it
that.
It makes no sense.
Don't watch that.
So watch the Zeta trilogy.
Yeah, it makes no sense because it implies that you've already watched the series.
Oh, really? Weird.
Yeah. Yeah. So like a lot of stuff, you're like, what? When did that happen? It happened when you watched the series.
Jeez. Oh, okay.
Fine. Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's move into our weeks.
Okay.
I'm going to open up because I have one that relates to a pick, too.
Cool.
So I've been playing a lot of Rise of the Tomb Raider.
All right.
But something I wanted to bring up was the marketing for Rise of the Tomb Raider. I don't know if you guys saw this.
No.
On Twitch, they had, in Britain, I believe it was in London, there was a billboard. And they took, I think, 7 or 8 contestants, and they strapped them to this billboard, like, just somewhere in the city. And then they had machines... that would replicate harsh weather conditions.
Okay.
And across them all, it said like the grittiest will survive or something like that.
Okay.
And it was filmed on Twitch, and the viewers could vote for what kind of weather conditions they wanted.
Oh, that's not smart.
And it was a 24-hour thing. The person who stays on the longest gets a trip inspired by Tomb Raider, which to me is a bit backhanded because I don't know if you guys know, but the latest Tomb Raider games are not fun trips.
Yeah, you want to get shot.
So who won?
So some dude won. But, like, basically, it was just 7 people. And when they started, they were, like, bright-eyed. And they're like, I'm ready for this. But, like, a couple hours in, they fucking, like, they looked like they wanted to kill themselves. They wanted to get out of there. Some of them they had to take down because one of the girls got hypothermia. And they're like, well, your life's in danger. We got to get you out of here. Yeah. Because all they had was a...
Wait, were they like clinging on or like? What?
No. So they were up against a billboard. They all wore black.
Were they like in a suit? I guess
sitting like.
No, they're standing, and they had a what kind of jacket? It wasn't a full like winter jacket. It was like a hiking jacket.
Okay.
With a hood on.
All right.
And then they were strapped standing to the board, and they're just still the whole time.
I guess so. Like, not all the pressure was on their feet. Like, they were mostly strapped.
No, but they also couldn't go to the washroom.
Some dude just pee his pants.
Yeah, of course.
All right. Cool.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know because it was always, because as luck would have it, it was always raining.
Never not raining.
It's always raining. They put snow. They blew extra wind, so that it was colder.
Dicks.
Yeah. But it was it pushes the boundaries for marketing of what you should be able to do.
That sounds super dangerous.
It does. But the guy won a trip. So
like, and that girl got hypothermia.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah. It sounds cool. But
I'll tell you what, the view count got a couple million, so...
Oh, of course.
Marketing worked.
Yeah, no, the marketing worked, but like how... I don't know. I don't feel that...
At what cost?
Yeah, at what cost?
At those kids.
Yeah. I guess they signed this agreement, and even though this kid died, they can't sue us. And
it's probably what happened, yeah. I wouldn't doubt it, but yeah.
What was that one lady? She died from a radio station contest?
Well, she held in her pee.
Yeah, hold your wee for a wee.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, and then, like, so she finished and went to go pee, but like... She still got water poisoning and then just died. See, like, I don't know. Like, it's just that kind of stuff is, I don't know, it's too dangerous.
Yeah. Anyways.
That's their choice. Fuck it.
Yeah. I've been playing Rise of the Tomb Raider on the Xbox One. Speaking of which, the Xbox One got an update.
Yeah.
You try it out?
No.
No, it's great.
What is it?
It's quick.
It's just faster?
It's a new OS.
Oh, wait, so it's not the tiles anymore?
No, it's a new OS.
Oh, I didn't get that one. Okay, I'll download it again. Oh, my
God. It's lightning quick.
Cool.
It's nice. I like it.
Or maybe I will never update it, and then my Xbox will always be tiles. Like when you find an Xbox 360 that sells Blades. You're like, whoa.
Blade, oh.
It's like the pages.
I remember having that. That sucked. Yeah.
That'll be my tiles Xbox One.
Yeah. So I've been playing Rise of the Tomb Raider, and hey, it's more Tomb Raider, guys.
Well, what? No way.
Yeah. Only they really listened to like all the critiques people had about the first game. They're like, all right, we hear you. You want less gunny fight. You want more tombs. So guess what? You got way more tombs to raid.
There's all these tombs.
Okay. In like the first 2 hours, you have one gunfight, and it's more just to show you that you can use a gun. It's like This is your gun. That's a guy. Shoot him in the face. Is he dead? Good. No more battles. Let's go back to Tomb Raider.
Are there guys
in the tomb? What is Tomb Raiding besides anything else?
So basically, it's a lot of challenge tombs that require a lot of puzzling, like puzzle solving.
You walk into a puzzle. You solve
the puzzle. You literally walk into a tomb. You see the prize, and you're like, how am I going to get this to work? And there's a whole bunch of puzzles you have to complete. But they've gotten real imaginative now. Like, one of the first tombs you go into is on the side of a mountain glacier. There's a pirate ship that's just frozen in the ice.
Yeah.
And that's considered a tomb because the pirate ship has booty, and you start at that end.
Booty.
And you have to navigate your way through this pirate ship.
Okay.
So it's pretty cool. It's structured like the Batman games or the first Arkham Asylum.
So these tombs are just in the areas.
Yes.
You can just like get to them.
Yes.
They're marked in your map or something.
Yes.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it is pretty much structured like Arkham Asylum, where you have one giant area that starts off small, and then once you get more upgrades and stuff, you can open up different paths to find different places. It takes place all in Siberia.
Okay.
So harsh, frigid conditions. And I remember one of the weirdest things about the first Tomb Raider game is Lara's like, it's so cold. It's so cold. And she's killing dudes with like heavy winter jackets. It's like, Lara, just take a jacket. Just
take the jacket.
So they start off with a jacket.
Oh, okay.
In fact, they start off with like full mountaineering gear.
Well, she's established now, right? Because at the end of that first game, she goes back and she's like,
I've
got a taste for blood.
Yeah, okay. So they take it a step further. They're like, so you want to give her a jacket? We'll give her a jacket. We'll give you a reason for why she doesn't have a jacket now. So she loses that jacket.
What?
And then they're like, but don't worry. She's not an idiot. So we'll give her another jacket.
Is this like this throughout the game? Does she just lose jackets?
She's constantly changing her outfit for story reasons.
That's hilarious.
And it's so, I don't know why, but I found it so amusing.
She's got costume changes.
Yeah, she does.
That's
and
funny.
Then on top of that, you can unlock more costumes.
Can I unlock original polygonal garbage, Lara Croft?
No, but at the end of the game, you do unlock a blue tank top with
short shorts.
Okay. I think it's either short shorts or cargo pants. Khaki things. I don't know.
It's not short shorts.
I can't remember. Well, whatever. She doesn't do dual pistols in this game, if that's what you
lame.
Want.
Lame.
She does not have that.
Lame.
Is this the one with Katniss Everdeen outfit, or is that the first one?
Oh, that's the first one.
All right.
Where she has the archer's uniform.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Aside, I really like her bow at the end of the first game.
The competition.
The crazy, like, competition bow with a bunch of shit hanging off.
Yeah, so they give you... That's the second bow you unlock. You get that really early on.
You get, like, a laser bow afterwards?
No,
like...
no, you get an ancient bow.
What?
Yeah.
It's okay. Hold on. Does it do the dumb spiritual, like crazy thing like they did at the end of the first game?
Yeah.
That was like my least favorite part.
Did you not like that in Uncharted?
In Uncharted, but like, okay. Actually, no. Okay, no, I didn't. Like at the end of Uncharted 2, when you face off all those Yetis and you can only use like the golden crossbow to kill them.
Okay, no, it's not that far. You can kill them with whatever in this one.
Oh, okay. All right.
Like it doesn't matter what you use. Although, what I will say is this game, Lara has many, many ways to take out opponents.
Okay.
Like, in the first game, you had fire arrows and grenade arrows. But what happened if you ran out of arrows, right? Well, Lara can just make arrows.
What?
Yeah, so this game is very...
You're just sticking a rock.
This is very crafting-based. So when you go into the world, trees, bushes, a lot of animal hunting, and those count towards your upgrades and stuff.
Yeah.
They also count towards, like, if Lara's just hanging out and she's running out of bows... Or, sorry, ran out of arrows, she could make them on the fly.
Okay.
And then she can combine them with other stuff she has. She has poison arrows.
There's a double arrow.
Yeah. But it extends to other weapons. So on her rifle, like her regular rifle.
Smith a scope? Like...
No, no. So you... Well, technically, yeah, you have to, like, carve animals and stuff to get that stuff. But she can make grenades to put in the rifle grenade launcher.
What?
Yes, she can do that.
She's a can of beans.
You also don't need to have a rifle. You could just swap it out for a sniper rifle.
Okay.
On her shotgun end, she can make the fire rounds.
So she's now an alchemist.
Uh-huh. With her pistol, she can say, I have regular ammo, but I want armor-piercing rounds, so she can make that.
This just sounds like, yeah, she's like, okay, I got this wood.
She's fucking MacGyver, man.
And then here's some magic, and then now here's metal.
Yeah.
Like, some equivalent exchange
shit. When she's going around, like, because a lot of the guards like to drink a lot, she could pick up the cocktails.
Yeah.
She could And if she has cloth around her,
that's more reasonable.
She can make that.
Making armor piercing.
If rounds. She finds canned whatever, like empty cans, like canned food, she'll take out the food and she'll put in like other stuff to make smoke bombs or shrapnel grenades. But yeah, no, she can do a lot. She also, do you remember in the first game she had rope arrows?
Yep.
So they've extended that feature out. She can now use rope arrows like Spider-Man. So she can pin it to some sort of thing and then she can swing.
Can I shoot another arrow and grab
it? No, but what you can do is she could take arrows now and she can jab them into the wooden planks, like sides of
places, climb up trees.
And she can climb up trees like that.
Okay.
So you could either shoot arrows into there or you could just take it and she could just stab it.
When you do that, does it use arrows in your inventory?
What? You just get magic climbing arrows? Yeah. The best feature, though, is I think Lara's supreme weapon of choice in the first game was the axe.
Yeah, climbing axe. That thing was brutal.
So beginning of this game, you start it with two
pickaxes?
Two.
Dual-wielding pickaxes.
Yeah. And immediately when you fight people, just go for the melee option because she will jab those into their head.
No, she got a taste for blood.
Oh, man. And when you unlock her special finishers with each of her weapons, they are rough.
Like, special finishers?
Yeah.
Man, this is Batman.
Like, when you take... She'll take both of her axes, and she'll kick you in, like, the ball so you bend over, and then she'll take them both and wedge them to the back of your head, and then she'll pull you and just throw you somewhere else.
Oh, that's like Manhunt.
Yeah, with her bow and arrow finisher, she doesn't even use the bow. She just takes the arrow
and, like, jabs
and just wedges it up through your...
Oh.
Yeah. The pistol one's pretty tame. She just kicks you down straight on your knees, so you're point blank, and she puts the pistol
kills you execution style. I don't know if that's subtle.
Yeah. And it's...
What's the shoddy one?
She just blows your head off, basically.
Did they get decapitated?
Yeah.
Rifle one?
I didn't... You know, I never knew
Lara. Shot through the heart! No.
The first game, Lara had these very gruesome deaths.
Yeah, she gets wrecked in that.
They took those out.
What?
Like, there's some...
They just put them towards the people?
Yeah, there's some they kept in, but for the most part, it's mostly gone.
So, the people that she's fighting, are there any, like, female grunts?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
The main baddie's a girl.
Okay.
An old lady.
That doesn't count, but okay.
Yeah.
I honestly thought this game was a remake of the first one.
No.
I didn't even realize there was
The Rise of the Tomb Raider.
But yeah, no, it's long. It's like, it is pretty, if you liked Batman Arkham Asylum, like that style of game, that's what this is.
Okay.
Only you're not Batman. You're just MacGyver chick who's like out for blood.
All right.
And it's great. I really enjoyed it. It took me about 25 hours to complete, but I went for the 100%.
You get the platinum or the 1,000 out of 1,000?
No.
This is Xbox.
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Because you have to beat on the hardest difficulty.
Is there multiplayer achievements?
There's no multiplayer.
Oh, okay, good.
What I was, there's a, they have like a score attack system. Like you replay chapters and high score stuff.
Do a quick speed run.
But they've implemented their version of Skulls from Halo.
Okay.
Only they're card-based, so like you buy packs of cards and cards give you certain things.
Fuck card-based.
Well, you earn currency in-game.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
But it's cool, because they have this one card where you basically shoot chickens from your bow and arrow.
What?
And the chickens explode.
Cool. I'm down.
You weaponize chickens. It's pretty sick.
I'm down.
That's the other thing. So because it's a bit more, a lot of open space, there's mission givers. Like mid...
It's like a dude with an exclamation mark over his head?
Pretty much.
Oh my god.
He's like, hey, I know you're busy, but can you just do X and that and Y? And I'll give you an upgrade.
This game's weird.
No. When you play it, it'll make sense.
Okay, this game sounds weird.
You remember in the first game when you're doing those optional tombs, you kind of just did them for fun.
Yeah.
There's a reward at the end for each one.
Okay, that's good.
It's like special unlocks for either your weapon or your special level up skills that you can only get through the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
So those are fun. But no, I really like it. It's good stuff. I'm into it.
Whoa, what happened there?
He just ate his phone.
Gross.
Yeah, no, it's
can't wait. People have to wait a year to play this game.
Oh, on PS4?
Yeah,
that kind of sucks.
Yeah,
it blows.
I'm sure it'll be like
it blows because I think it's one of the best games of the year.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh,
but I am drinking the Tomb Raider Kool-Aid, so take that opinion with a grain of salt.
It comes in a booty short can. Your glass has a blue tank top on it.
The new Lara isn't like that.
It comes with multiple jackets that come off random.
Yeah, like, I think what I'll say is this. I think the Uncharted games are, like, the games you play because you want that super rich movie-like experience.
Okay.
But the Tomb Raider games are the games you play because you want a better game.
Okay.
Like, you want to actually play a game. Like, you don't want to go from point A to point B all the time. All
right.
That's and, like, you want to do the upgrade paths, and you want to do... You want to challenge yourself with the puzzles.
Yeah.
Because Uncharted is very...
Linear?
Yeah.
And know what though? Like, for me, Uncharted, I've never had a problem with it being linear. Like,
yeah, no, I'm not saying it's a problem. Yeah. I love Uncharted. But, okay. Yeah, I think I'm at that point now where it's like, no, if given the choice, I would play Tomb Raider over Uncharted.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Good thing you don't have to make that choice.
Yeah, you're right. I can play all the games.
Cause play as many games as you want.
I will play all the
you're
games.
You're an adult, okay? Yeah, and no one can tell you what to do.
I'm so excited. Uncharted 4 comes out in March. I'm so excited.
I'm kind of excited for that, too.
Yeah. But yeah, so the last thing I'll say in Tomb Raider is the first game is framed as Lara is a survivor's born. Remember that tagline?
Yeah.
Because she survives. This one is a Tomb Raider will rise or something like that.
I remember, so one last question. I remember in the opening or the launch trailers for this game, they really played up Lara, like kind of like.
Wait, what'd you call her?
Lara? Lara? Is it Lara? Lara? Lara.
You make this decision.
I'm going to say Lara.
What?
Lara.
How do you spell it?
Lara.
So why do you say Laura?
I don't know.
Like just, Laura.
It's just instinctual.
I should fucking punch you in the face.
All right, so Laura. Wow. So Laura was really played up as like kind of being messed up from the first game.
Yeah.
And she's in like her like therapist's office and stuff. Mm-hmm. Do they play with that at all or no?
They do. Okay, so the whole setup to Rise of the Tomb Raider is you get a bit more backstory on her family.
Okay.
Like Lord Croft, her dad,
he's a lord?
Yeah.
Cool.
That's why she's rich.
Nice.
Right? For the sake of the argument, let's just say her dad was Indiana Jones.
All right.
Only he was so famous, and then one day he was discredited, and people said he went crazy.
All right.
Even Lara thought he went crazy.
Okay.
But then after when Lara went to that island in the first game and she realized that supernatural bullshit could happen,
mm-hmm.
she's like, my dad wasn't crazy. And so the whole point of this game is her to set up on this quest on her dad's last archaeological assignment to prove that he wasn't crazy. But in the midst of it, everyone thinks that she's going crazy.
Because she's seeing the spiritual stuff.
Yes. Okay, all right. And it deals with all that. And like it's framed really cool. It's like Lara doesn't know if she's actually going insane herself.
You know what everybody else's problem is? They're probably not decent people. Because what Shaman King has taught me is that only decent people can see ghosts.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Can't be all bad if you can see ghosts.
Okay. Yeah. And, so that's how it's framed. And by the end of this game, she solidifies herself as the Tomb Raider.
Okay.
And I cannot wait for the next one because I think the next game is going to be more like...
She's going to be in a mech suit.
She's pretty much, listen, I am the Tomb Raider now. Guess what? None of this growing up because I'm a little girl bullshit. I'm ready.
Lara, there's a tomb that needs to be raided.
Sorry, what's your color again?
Lara, there's a tomb that needs to be raided. Really? I'm on it. I'm just like, it's just instinctual. I don't know. Like, I see, I'm just like, Lara.
What the hell?
I don't know. I just can't separate it.
Have you never met anyone with the name Lara?
No.
What about Kara?
No. I've met a Carly.
But you don't say Cora?
No. There's no O in it.
Yeah, well, there's no U in Lara either.
Yeah, but I say Lara more often than I say Lara.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
But how? You grew up with video games.
Yeah.
And yeah, Lara Croft. I never played Lara Croft.
Oh, shit.
Man. I forgot about all the Laras in video games. My bad.
Yeah, my bad. No, in real life, I meant there's more Laras in real life.
Yeah, but you can't just make that distinction.
I just do, though. I just did.
I don't call you Anthrony.
Why not?
Like, I don't just throw in an extra letter in your name.
Why not?
No, just because you know so many more people doesn't mean you automatically describe somebody's name.
Yeah.
But it's not somebody, it's a character.
No, but that's a real name.
Is it?
Lara?
Do people name their kid Lara?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Oh my god.
Jeez. Croft's a real name?
Croft's cool. I say Croft.
Okay.
Croft.
Now say it with me. Lara. Croft.
Lara.
Not Laura. It's Lara.
Lara Croft. Did I get it?
I don't know.
Lara Croft. Lara.
You need to end yourself quickly, my friend. I'm going to bring the real Lara Croft in here.
She's like, kick down the door. What'd you say?
Yeah. But, yeah. Oh, and her character model? Holy shit. She looks exactly like her voice actress now.
Oh, real?
Yeah. If you look up Camilla Luddington, you'll be
like... She just looks like
Camilla. I'll be like, that's Lara Croft, guys. Like,
here she is, a founder.
Like, no distinction. Camilla Luddington is Lara Croft.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, Malavin's looking up Camille Luddington.
Absolutely, 100%. Oh, wow.
That She's cute, huh?
That is just Lara Croft.
She is cute, pigs. But speaking of British people,
yeah,
I got in this real kick this week
of
looking up British culture.
Why?
Because I don't know.
It's just tea and crumpets.
So I've been studying, I'm trying to memorize all the different British accents in the UK. All
right.
There's a lot.
There's not just like, hey, cheers, governor, and they clank Guinnesses.
No.
All right.
No. But there's a lot of them.
All right.
I've been hooked on this YouTube channel.
Called?
Called Anglophilia.
Okay.
And it's all about British culture.
Wow.
Anything from the types of animals they have, what's in their houses, the types of accents, why they like tea, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
There's one that really blew my mind.
What?
In their bathrooms,
mm-hmm.
at the faucet, they have separate taps. Separate hot and water taps and cold water taps.
Why?
Like they're not together.
Why?
I don't know. I think maybe newer homes have it now, but the majority of houses don't have air conditioning and they don't have unified taps.
This is why I hate the British.
So you do hate the British.
This fucking tap controversy. No, I'm just joking.
And they can't move. The taps are like... They're just
straight faucets.
Yeah, so you turn one on, it's cold. You turn the other one, it's hot. And when she's like, so how do we get like a magical temperature between them? And the girl put her hands in, she's like, simple. You just dot back and forth.
That's retarded.
And I was like, what? No.
That's so dumb.
No.
That's dumb.
That's dumb. So I immediately contacted some of my British friends.
That's dumb.
And I had to say, can you confirm?
Can you please take a picture?
What do they say?
Of your faucets.
Yes.
That's dumb. That's yes. dumb.
They said newer homes, more modern homes, obviously have unified taps. And of course, most people, you can buy unified taps, but just a lot of legacy options like no air conditioning and that, they're separate.
That's dumb.
And it's fucked up.
It's dumb. Why did
you...
What?
It's...
Then you're just splashing the countertop. You get soap everywhere.
The best part is when you read the comment section, it's... Why the fuck am I watching this? I'm British. And then there's like 300 likes followed by, I'm British too. And eventually it's like, I bet there's no Americans here.
It's just British people. They're so into themselves
that
they're watching British stuff.
Yeah.
That's actually the funniest. Oh my God.
What the fuck?
Can you imagine you just like click and you just watch it? Oh, hey, what am I doing?
Why?
Yeah, and they're like, yeah, that's like my home. Yeah, my home.
Wow, your home's like this too? Can't believe we live in the same goddamn country.
Yeah, some of the comments are like, when she darted her hands back and forth, I was like, that's me every morning.
Flashbacks, man.
And I'm just like, wow, why are you watching this? But no, I'm super hooked. I'm going to work on my British accent.
Your British accent?
Oh, God.
See? I got it. I'm down.
Which one, though?
I don't know.
Okay.
Welcome to England, governor. And then...
Okay.
That's it.
Whatever, man.
That's the one.
That's the one you need. All right.
When you make your really offensive British Halloween costume, and you're just like a cop in a bowler hat.
All right. Thanks.
Carrying around a telephone booth.
But yeah, no, that was my week. British culture and Rise of the Tomb Raider. One of the best games this year.
Cool.
Done.
What's up?
Your weeks are getting weirder and weirder. You know that, right?
Mike?
Yeah.
Bob Ross, It's just, man.
Before it was like toys, video game, toys, bikes. And now it's just like art, faucets. Like, the next is you're going to be like, I got really into like stuccoing my windows.
Well, you know, you got to expand. I always need extra topics of conversation.
I've been learning how to use caulking. Like,
I already know that. No, that's a kid. There's a lot of house improvements I've already done as a kid.
Right.
Yeah, well, you were a lawn technician for 1 point,
yeah? Oh, yeah, I was.
Your storied history as a lawn technician.
Oh, my God, that was the best.
Those were the days.
Have you seen that new Vine that's out where it's like when you meet up an old friend and tell him your fancy job title, but you know it doesn't mean shit?
Yeah.
And one of them was like, I'm a marketing professional for a Fortune 500 company. And he's just outside in a chicken costume waving a sign. And then his other friend's like, whoa, real man, that's sick. I'm an underwater tile technician. And it's like, and he's got washing plates underneath the water in the sink. Fuck. I'm an underwater tile technician.
That's amazing.
Ceramics technician. That was it.
No, that's so
ceramics
funny.
Technician. He's just washing dishes.
That's pretty funny.
You want to go?
So I myself have been on an 80s movie kick.
Okay.
Because I found out that the king of 80s music was
Jim.
Kenny Loggins.
Sure.
You know Kenny Loggins?
Is that one? That's, saxophone that, guy?
That's Kenny G.
Kenny G. All right. Same people.
Kenny Loggins sang Danger Zone. He sang the Caddyshack theme song. Do you remember that movie, Caddyshack?
I remember the movie. I do not remember the theme song.
And he sang Footloose.
Footloose. You've been watching Footloose.
I watched Footloose. And this movie is like a better step up.
Step up's bad, though.
Hey, but... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like the step up bar isn't exactly up here.
Okay, well, so. To be fair, I haven't really watched all of Step Up 1. Which I should, because it's Channing.
Wait, what?
What?
That's, isn't that like your favorite movie
that's
of all
like the
time?
Best Step Up.
Yeah, I know, but I love Step Up 3. And Footloose is miles above better. And I didn't realize how corny 80s movies were. He teaches his friend how to dance. He literally is trying to fight the town so that they can dance.
Yeah, because they all got a stick up their butt.
Yeah.
That, it was in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah,
why do they all have sticks up their butt? No, not literally.
Yeah, but man, this movie was actually pretty entertaining for an 80s movie. And now I kind of want to watch... the ones like Top Gun, Cocktail.
You haven't seen Top Gun?
I have seen Top Gun when I was younger, but not
Top Gun's
recently.
Real good.
Top Gun, yeah. Top Gun's better when you're an adult.
Okay.
Iceman.
Goose.
I want to see Caddyshack. I want to see all of those
Caddyshack's
movies.
Funny.
Yeah, all those 80s movies. Yeah. Just, I don't know, back to a simpler time, you know?
I secretly hate the 80s.
Really?
I think the 80s are dumb.
Why? But they give you music such as... Turn around every now and then.
Whatever.
Fucking you tonight. You remember that from the Wedding Singer?
Yeah.
They're like, what?
Because I need your mom.
Wait. Yeah, I don't know. The 80s are okay. They're fine.
I'll tell you, you know, for me, it's a lot because I didn't grow up in the 80s. I grew up in the 90s, so I will always champion the 90s.
So for me, it's that I, like, my cousins grew up in the 80s. Yeah.
Right.
And they're like, they say the 80s suck.
Really?
But now there's these, like, younger kids who have this, like, for some reason, this nostalgia for the 80s.
Yeah, well, retro stuff is so good when...
Yeah, but, like, it's not like when, like, our generation got really into classic rock. Like, it's like, man, I'm gonna watch Pink Floyd, like, listen to Pink Floyd while I'm high and whatever. But, like, my parents thought that was good. Their parents think the 80s is bad, but they're like, nah, it's the best. Like, the people who lived it openly admit that the 80s were shit.
That's
and then they're just like, you don't know what you're talking about. You didn't live it. It's like, yes, it did. It was garbage.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, I never really thought about it like that. But I don't know. Those movies just... There was nothing on Netflix that I watched that. Because I was like, man, I want to see the whole thing behind it. The angry warehouse dancing and everything like that. And, man, it's super corny, but I loved it, like, every minute.
You know what? Okay, you know what the 80s brought?
What?
Late 80s brought the start of good early 90s action movies.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah.
This is true. Now I got to watch all these great action movies in the 90s.
Did you watch West Side Story?
No. I don't watch Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure again.
I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
What?
Yeah.
You'd love that movie.
I probably would.
That's a movie for you.
Yeah.
Is it really?
That's a movie for you.
Yeah.
Because I hate that movie.
Oh, God.
Because, wait, do you like Wayne's World?
No.
Okay, I love Wayne's World.
Would. It has all the like the cameos and everything.
Wayne's World, excellent.
Yeah,
especially the one part with the Terminator guys. Like, have you seen this boy? And they're like, ah! He's run away. It's pretty funny. But yeah, no, it's my movie's been pretty boring. So
Footloose.
Aww. Yeah,
Footloose.
That's good.
Yeah, the weekend was weird.
What?
Nothing.
What?
Keep going.
No, I want you. So what?
What'd you say?
So in my week, I've been doing a couple things. I started playing, or I think I mentioned it before, and maybe not on the podcast, but I'm almost done this game called Sybil. It's on Steam. It's an indie game. And it's made by a single girl. I think her name's Nina Freeman. That's her name. Her Twitter handle, I love her Twitter handle. It's HentaiPhD. It's a pretty good Twitter handle. But it's about a game that she made based on her personal life of falling in love online or being like a young, impressionable teen and like kind of being in a space where you don't know who you are and then trying to start a relationship through the internet. And so
this sounds like a tragic game.
It's very tragic. So how the game works or how it works is every chapter starts with you on her desktop.
Okay.
And you can like go through her files. There's like pictures. It's like there's a folder called selfies and it's got selfies in it. There's a chat client with her friends and you see like made up conversations and stuff. But the brunt of the story starts when you start the MMO of the game. And the MMO gameplay is very simple. It's more of a...
So you're playing a game within a game?
Yeah, you're playing a game within a game.
Okay.
And it's more of a means to progress the story rather than you actually doing anything cool, right? You just click on a monster, you start auto-attacking, and then sometimes you got to move with the character that you're falling in love with.
Mm.
And the first chapter starts out of, like, the guy's constantly complimenting her, be like, oh, I saw you posted up a picture on the forums, you're cute and whatever, you should send more pictures and stuff. And like the first chapter ends with her camera taking like a selfie in her underwear, like on her bed, right? And it kind of gets darker and darker from there. And it's like this really like tragic and real personal tale.
Yeah.
That I don't think I would have gotten as much impact if I wasn't interacting with it, because the fact that you're in her life actually every chapter and seeing it progress, really kind of just adds more. It's a very tragic game. It's not happy.
So you think that because you're clicking the buttons, it hits you more?
I feel like I'm just kind of more input in, like I'm put into her life more rather than like if this was in a movie and it's like here's the camera looking at a computer screen, like the fact that I'm, it's almost creepy in a way.
Mm.
Like I'm invading this person's life. Mm. Right.
I think I've gotten to the point where like I've come to realize that whether I'm playing the video game or not, I don't think it'll impact how deep I get into it.
Really?
Okay. No. Because at the end of the day, it's a video game and it doesn't matter what you click. The story that they want to show you is going to happen regardless.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think for me, the most, audiobooks or books are the things that I get really attached to.
Okay.
Because those are, I think that's one of the few mediums where you get into the mind of the character. Because they love to talk to themselves in their head, right? They love to let you know what they're thinking. But yeah, you're right. On a movie, probably not as much. But yeah, for me, it's more books.
Yeah, okay. And that's totally fair. Like, I read some article recently about how, in terms of storytelling, less is more.
Yeah.
So the reason people really love books is because it's just text on a page. And you can implant your own ideas to that page,
mm-hmm.
right? And it makes it more of a personal experience and stuff like that. And also just limitations or whatever. But that's off topic. So this game, Sybil, it's on $10 on Steam. I think it's really good. Don't go in expecting like this kind of like crazy gameplay thing. It's more of like a Gone Home.
Oh,
like
okay.
You're in it for the ride. Like there is a story here and it will tell you the story. And there's game portions around it.
Okay.
But it's more like an artsy indie experience.
Does it play like a Heavy Rain only with a bit more?
No, there's like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, so yeah.
Is it like an adventure game?
Kind of.
Like, okay.
I honestly don't know how to explain it. It's so.
How do you spell the name?
S-I-B-E-L-E. Or sorry, C-I-B-E-L-E. My bad. And it's okay. I'll take you through the first chapter. You start off, it shows a full motion video cutscene, and it's the girl who developed the game. The cutscenes are her filming herself doing acting. Then it starts with the computer. You're in the desktop. You move around like you're controlling the desktop. You click on different folders, and then you can start the game. Then the game happens. You play the game a little bit, and then the story progresses. And then once you get to a certain point within this fake MMO, then it cuts back to a cutscene, chapter ends, and it repeats the process.
Do you ever leave your computer?
No. You're always on the computer.
So it's like that Facebook movie.
Facebook? Jesse Eisenberg?
No, sorry. The
Unfriended?
Yeah, that one.
The horror movie where person from Skype? Okay, I've never seen that. Is that all in Skype?
Yes.
Oh, weird.
Like that okay. takes place. No, it takes place all on your desktop.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, so like all your windows pop up and open and you close them and sending messages. And
oh, that's cool.
It's a cool idea. I don't know if it was a good movie, but...
Yeah, I don't know. But it sounds like a cool idea. But yeah, so it plays like that, I guess. I
would say. Okay.
Yeah, but it's an indie game, $10 on Steam. I think it's a cool experience. It's
Max
not,
port?
I actually don't know.
Well, I guess I can't.
Because I don't have a Mac.
So. Well, I can't play it then.
The other thing I did is I played a new Ascension expansion.
You're just all about the words today.
I know, right? I don't know what's happening. It's that pizza. The pizza got me. Laura. A new Ascension expansion. I forgot to write down the title of it. But it's the newest expansion, and it adds kind of planeswalker-esque abilities, if you've ever played Magic.
Oh, no.
So in the game, you pick a hero, okay? And that hero is assigned a faction, pretty much. So there's Void, Enlightened, Machina, and all that stuff. Every time you buy a card of the same faction, you get a token.
Yeah.
And then you can use these tokens to spend on one of two things. One is the hero card, which usually has some like crazy effect that's for your faction, and you put it into your deck and you do stuff when you draw it, or for almost like an emblem if you've ever played Magic. So like sometimes planeswalkers,
right,
they have an ability where when you do my ulti, you just get an emblem that says now you as a player have this ability, right? And the ability is a new mechanic called Rally. So you rally your own faction. So what happens is when you buy a card of your faction, when you replace it and you flip the card off the top of the deck, if it is also that faction, you just take the card.
Okay.
So it's a pretty strong ability, and you can only get it when you have 8 tokens. So it's kind of like a mid to late game type of thing. But they put in stuff from other expansions too, like multi-faction classes. So you can have one that's Enlightened and Void. And then it still counts for the rally,
yeah,
depending on what you have. And the thing I really like about this expansion is that it is actually balanced for a standalone expansion, unlike the other one I played. Which was actually, I have the name for that one. This is why I make notes. Realms Unraveled. So Realms Unraveled was where it came in with multi-faction stuff, but I felt that there were certain cards in that game that were just straight broken and certain combinations.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that. Yeah.
And so this one's a lot more balanced.
Cool.
So you can just buy this as a standalone expansion and play it. It was really cool. And then the last thing I did was I watched a movie from the 70s called Blazing Saddles. It's by comedy legend Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
And it's about, it's set in the Western times, cowboy times.
I could have figured that out. Thanks.
And this big government guy, he's trying to make a railroad. But he runs into a snag where their set path runs through quicksand, and they can't build railroad on quicksand. And so the only other option is to run it through this town. And he wants to run everybody out of that town. So he scares them off tries to scare them by killing their sheriff. And then when the townspeople request a new sheriff, he's like, I got an idea. This is back like slave owners and all this stuff. I'm going to make a black sheriff as your sheriff. And it's this black sheriff dealing with like the racism of the time, and teaming up with Gene Wilder, who was in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, who was Wonka. And they try and save the town and like turn everybody's opinion about him, even like just to see that he's a good person and unite people through race.
Yeah.
It's really funny. It is very offensive.
It's the 70s.
Yeah, it's super offensive, but I feel like it's done in a very tasteful way.
Okay.
And there's just like a lot of crazy stuff in that movie. That movie takes you places you would never thought this movie would have gone. Some of the jokes are just like fall out of your seat funny for me. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's probably one of my favorite comedy movies of all time now. And it's, again, like, so, like, you drink the Laura Croft Kool-Aid. I drink the Mel Brooks Kool-Aid for these movies.
Oh,
like,
do you?
I really like Mel Brooks. He has movies like Young Frankenstein. He made Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Oh, fuck, I hate that movie.
What? You don't like that kind of comedy? Like, the kind of slapstick Three Stooges?
I haven't seen Blazing Saddles since I was a kid.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I like Dracula Dead and Loving at this
point. Yeah, Dracula Dead and Loving is good. Yeah. Did I say Young Frankenstein?
Yeah.
And I also like Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle's.
I'm on the East Bank. I'm on the West Bank. What else did he make? High Anxiety was a parody of Alfred Hitchcock movies.
Yeah.
But he's legendary, and
sure is.
He plays with race in movies in a way, and like in religion in a way in movies that I don't think anybody could get away with now. He's really a product of his time, but he knows everything's a joke. Like in Blazing Saddles, there's a part where someone is playing Hitler, but he plays Hitler And Mel Brooks is Jewish.
Yeah.
Right? And so he knows, like, it doesn't matter to him. Like, this, it's all for comedy's sake, right? It's never malicious.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I out of everything I've talked about today, is go watch Blazing Saddles. That movie's fantastic.
The audience is all like, welcome to the party, Anthony.
I know, but, oh, man, it's so good. I just, for some reason, that's like the one Mel Brooks movie I haven't watched until now.
Wow. Surprise.
I really like it. Surprise. So funny.
Nope. Yeah, no. Haven't seen it since I was like maybe 4 or 5.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep.
5? What? How would you even grasp some of those jokes at that time?
I didn't.
Okay.
Because, my grandfather, he loves Westerns, so I grew up on all the Westerns.
Oh, okay.
And it's because, after school would be, we watch Next Gen, Star Trek.
All right.
And then we watch Transformers.
Okay.
And then we put on some Western.
Because he wanted to watch a Western.
Yes.
It's like, you got your two things.
No, Star Trek was his. Oh, I just learned to love it.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
You got your one thing.
Yeah.
Your one and a half thing.
Yeah. Because they played back-to-back.
Who was the famous, back in the 50s, who was the famous Western dude?
Clint Eastwood?
No.
Sorry, my bad.
It's like, oh, I forget his name. I can't remember.
Okay.
But my grandma was also way into Westerns.
John Wayne?
Huh?
John Wayne?
John Wayne.
John Wayne. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I watched a lot of that.
Howdy, partner. And he's... Yeah. I watched a lot of John Wayne movies also as a kid.
Yeah.
But this movie's so funny. Like, I don't want to talk about it anymore because I don't want to spoil anything.
All right, Blavin, go watch Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, pass.
Along with Top Gun.
With Top Gun.
I'm going to watch Top Gun.
Just don't watch the one he did after that.
What?
The NASCAR one.
Oh,
what's
it
with Tom Cruise?
Isn't it a NASCAR movie?
Yeah, with Nicole Kidman. God damn it. What's it called?
No clue what you're talking about.
Yeah, because it was horrible.
Oh, okay.
They used the same formula as Top Gun, only they applied it to NASCAR. And then they found out, like, no, sorry, lightning does not strike
twice.
Days
of Thunder.
Days of Thunder. Yeah, do not watch that one. Do not watch that one.
It's funny.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's it from us.
Yep.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll talk about something else.
Maybe. We'll think about it.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we'll do that Gundam movie.
Maybe.
We'll probably talk about Star Wars.
Battlefront.
What? Oh, Battlefront.
Yeah. I'll talk about Star
Wars. You'll talk about Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah, I'll talk about Star Wars.
Someone like, I'm like game buying abstinence right now.
What?
Yeah.
Did you not just send my sister like hundreds of dollars for games?
Yeah, that was before today. That doesn't count.
Okay, because I'm like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm starting my diet starting today, so my past experiences don't matter.
All right, wait, hold on. Did you not pre-order Xenoblade Chronicles X today?
Yeah, I said not until December, not until the holidays.
Okay, but I thought you dropped all your money today for it.
No, I put $5 on it.
Oh my God.
Okay.
I put the minimum.
Mr. Hypocrite over here.
I know. That's how I live my life.
Okay.
One lie at a time.
Thanks for watching.
Yep.
See you guys next week.
Peace out.
Bye.